welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Morgan Godfrey this morning. Great to be here, Koe. Morgan, how are you?
Oh, great to play. I'm quite well. How are you?
I'm also well. It's been a big old week for the whole world, and we're going to be talking about the Black Lives Matter movement. We're also going to chat about armed police in New Zealand. And if we've got some time, we might touch on the National Party changes as well, because that's still bubbling away. But let's start with what's going on overseas with Black Lives Matter in America. We're seeing huge protests in response to the death of George Floyd, killed by police officers. And of course, we've seen protests at home as well, a huge number of people turning out in support of the movement. I wanted to ask you, Morgan, in your opinion, what is it about this death, which is, you know, the most recent perhaps in a long line of violence against black people, what is it about this moment that you think has changed? Why are we seeing such massive protests right now?
I think it's because there are so many different things which are converging at this very moment. Yes, it's police brutality. Yes, it's a police murder of black people and people of colour in the US. But it's also things like economic inequality, housing inequality, all the different issues, all the different injustices in the US which are beginning to converge in this very moment. So I think that is probably the difference, is that I don't think the protests and solidarity events and even the riots are necessarily just about the violence of police forces across the US. They're also about all of these other injustices which occur daily in the lives of, you know, many black people, many people of colour, many working class communities, immigrant communities in the US. And that's, I think, the reason why this the solidarity events and the protests and the riots are such a cross-section of American society. You know, it's not just black communities who are taking to the street. It's communities, you know, from across the US, from all different demographics, who are taking these actions as well, saying that, you know, we've simply had enough. We've had enough of Trump. We've had enough of the Republican Party. We've had enough of the Democrats and their complicity as well. So I think that's the reason, that's the reason why this has become quite a historic moment, is because all of those things are converging.
And do you think coronavirus has had a big part to play in that too?
I think so, because I think the virus exposes the inequalities within the US and the inequalities around the world. It hits working class communities the hardest. For example, you know, when the virus hits immigrant communities, research has shown that the spread has been more severe than when it hits, for example, a wealthier area where people are, they have their private healthcare insurance, they have the ability to social distance and stay away from work. Whereas, say, in the working class communities, that's not always possible. You know, you have to go into the Amazon warehouse to work, or you have to go into the diner or whatever it is. So the virus has really exposed how some people can protect themselves against getting sick, and other people can't protect themselves against getting sick. So it's another reason and another convergence, I think. Or at least the virus is another reason, another convergence for these recent protests and solidarity events and riots.
And of course, the solidarity events in New Zealand had an incredible turnout, actually. What do you think New Zealand should be taking stock of? Obviously, we have our own black community who have been, you know, testifying to racism that exists at home as well. But what do you think that New Zealanders should be taking stock of with this moment?
It was quite incredible, the recent event in Auckland, because it took everyone by surprise. I don't think anyone was expecting so many people to turn out in solidarity. I think up to 5,000 people in Aotea Square, which I think even the organisers were quite surprised by, and were probably thinking, how did this happen? Which is probably probably an indication of just how useful social media is, but also an indication of just how relevant these events are across the world, whether it's in the US, whether it's Canada, whether it's New Zealand as well. Because there is, of course, anti-blackness in this country, it takes very different forms than in the US. We have a much smaller black community, but we have a black community nonetheless. And it is over-policed, just like Maori communities and just like Pacific communities. And there is a degree of, I think, anti-blackness manifesting in the way that New Zealanders take from black culture.
Mm.
So I think it's quite important, given that context, given that New Zealanders take so freely from black culture, I think it was very important that people showed up in solidarity when black people are under attack in the US. So that was quite an encouraging thing. I would be a little bit wary to take too many lessons from what's happening in the US, simply because our context is just so different. Mm-hmm. We have the trial of armed police in South Auckland, which is similar, of course, to the general policing of the US.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's a very long kind of bow to draw to say that the trial of armed policing is the introduction of American-style policing, because it is, and it also isn't. So I'm kind of wary about drawing too many lessons. I think the important thing at the moment is simply just unqualified solidarity before thinking through mm-hmm. the consequences or context for New Zealand.
On that note, let's talk a little bit about the armed police trials, because we've seen quite a lot in the last week. Obviously, it has been a conversation that has been very prevalent in the media, and we've seen people across the political spectrum now from both the National Party and the coalition government saying that they're not comfortable necessarily with the arming of police as a general rule. But it kind of seems to keep going back to this thing of it's an operational matter for the police, seems to be the bottom line that people keep coming back to. Do you think, Morgan, that there is a point at which the arming of police in New Zealand goes beyond being operational?
I think so. I think at every point, the arming of the police is a political decision and not an operational decision. And I think that's been made clear by the way that politicians have responded. They have come out. They've been very careful with their wording. For example, the Labour Party's Māori caucus, I think it was yesterday, came out to say that they were opposed. They were absolutely opposed to, quote, the general arming of police. So that's slightly different from what's happening with Arms Down, which is about specialist armed response units rather than the general arming of police. But the statement was put out by the Labour Party Māori caucus as a way to put political pressure, I think, as a way to kind of quite subtly put political pressure on the police minister
mm-hmm.
and the police themselves to indicate that politically this is a no-go. We'll use the term general arming, so we'll distinguish it just a little bit from what's going on right now.
Mm.
But the message was very clear for the police and for the minister. We don't want any arming of the police, really. We're opposed to these trials. We can't say it because it would be too controversial and bad for the Prime Minister. But we're going to indicate it in this statement by using, you know, this kind of slippery wording. So I think it's inherently political. You know, guns are always political, no matter who wields them. But especially when the state or agents of the state wield guns, that's absolutely a political thing. And I think it's very disingenuous and dishonest of the police and politicians, to be frank, and of Jacinda Ardern to write this off as an operational matter. Certainly not. She should have the political courage to say, no, I don't want even the trial of specialist armed police, let alone the general arming of police. So I would hope that in the next few days she either publicly or privately says to the police, sorry, but you're not doing this.
Mm. It's really interesting to see how quickly this discussion has become, I think, something that the public's really latched onto as well. I'm quite interested, Morgan, just to touch base on what some of your core fears would be if we did see a general arming of the police at some point. What would be, I think, some of your biggest concerns about that?
I think it would be the death of, frankly, first of innocent people, and then the death or the disproportionate attacks against Māori communities. The biggest danger of arming the police is that innocent bystanders are going to get hit. Whenever you discharge a firearm, there's always a very, very high risk that someone innocent is going to get hit. You know, if you, I'll just using the example of the person who discharged a firearm at police in the Bay Plenty last week. The police returned fire, and they returned fire in a public place.
Mm.
They didn't hit anyone, but of course there was always a risk that the bullet could have gone astray and could have hit someone. You know, anyone who's used a firearm knows that it's not an easy thing to do, and it's especially not easy once you introduce elements like high pressure, high stakes, So that's a big worry. And of course, everyone knows this. If the police have the means, they're going to use it. They have tasers and they use them.
Mm.
They have batons and they use them. If they have the means in terms of guns, they're going to use them. So that's quite just that fact alone. That they have a tool which they're going to use.
Mm.
It's quite terrifying to me because everyone knows as well that disproportionately it will be used against Māori communities.
We've also seen, just the last thing I wanted to touch on, we've also seen some concerns about it being a mental health issue as well, and people who have commented a lot about perhaps we should be looking better at how also we can deal with mental health issues within our community, and that could be a group that is perhaps affected by the arming of the police as well. Do you have any thoughts on that, Morgan, before we let you go?
Oh, certainly. Absolutely agree there. It's quite a travesty, really, that our health system is so underfunded that when there is a mental health crisis, often the police are called and sent to wherever the person is, rather than having trained mental health professionals who are able to respond. And again, because, when the police respond to these mental health emergencies, again, that introduces an element of risk and almost the inevitability that force is going to be used, whether it's to restrain the person, arrest them, or at the very worst, the police, committing violence against them, whether it's the use of a taser or whatever else. That is a very real fear. And what I think that, people should quite widely and quite seriously take.
Well, Morgan, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it, and it's great to chat to you. I hope we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks for that, Rachel.
Thanks, Morgan. See you later.
See ya.
We just heard a bit of political commentary
this morning.